being here. The purpose of our attendance this morning is obviously to come together and worship God. And I'm thankful that that's what we've been doing this morning and that He is the focus and He deserves that focus. He deserves all our respect and our reverence. And I'm thankful for my brethren being here and engaging together as we worship God. And as part of our worship is diving into God's Word together and looking at it and increasing our faith and our knowledge in God and His Son and in the Holy Spirit. Throughout Scriptures, we see many verses that encourage Christians to always be ready for the opportunity to teach, to be ready to spread the gospel, to be ready to help those who need the truth. And one reason for that is because there are so many different false doctrines out there. There are so many people that believe that truth is relative and that anyone can decide what truth is. The Bible clearly states that that's not the case, that there is a road to heaven and not many different roads to heaven. And we'll talk about that this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." And just as Brother Bob had in our scripture reading with 1 Timothy chapter 4, it talks about that there are different doctrines even during this time that existed. And that Paul tried to impress upon these early Christians that it is out there and it is prevalent. And you would think in the first century, as Jesus has just died and resurrected and gone to heaven, and the church in its infancy, that you wouldn't think there'd be false doctrine prevalent. But there is. And so if it was prevalent then in the infancy of the church, how much more so is it prevalent today? That so many people believe in your way is right, your way is right, and your way is right, instead of God's way is right. There are not different roads to heaven. There is a road to heaven. Now, it may not be like in the picture where it's just beautifully paved and there's no rough spots and there's no things, barricades or anything to get in your way as you go to heaven. It's difficult. There's a lot of bumps along the way. And there are such because of what we do, not because of what the Lord has done for us. Jesus Christ has gone on before us as the forerunner and paved the way to heaven through His blood. So He can make it smooth for you. But when we sin and when we falter, there's your potholes and there's the paving that needs to be done as you take that road to heaven. I ran across an illustration concerning a doctrine that we are familiar with as other religions in the world use today. And I'll give you an example of this. This is from an author named William Durant and his book called Caesar and Christ. In this book, it says in about A.D. 383, at a time after the Roman Empire had supposedly said Christianity is our national religion, Emperor Valentinian issued an order to remove from the Senate House in Rome the statue of the goddess Victory. And you see that on your right on the screen. And the picture on the left is Emperor Valentinian. So he issued an order to remove this goddess from the Senate House. He did not want it there. And this had actually been placed there back in 29 BC by Caesar Augustus. So it had been there for over 300 years. And so just with anything, as far as politics goes and religion goes, when a decision is made, there are always the critics. They're always there that come out and say that this is wrong and you shouldn't do this. Well, it's interesting to see what one of these defenders of this idol argued in his appeal to leave the statue in what they termed as its revered place. This man's name was Symmachus, and he said this, "What does it matter by what road each man seeks truth? By no one road can man come to the understanding of so great a mystery." Does this sound familiar to you? What this is saying is that it is impossible for us to all agree, and it is impossible that truth in the sense of a word exists. because there's confusion and it's a mystery and we can't wrap our minds around it. So because it's so hard, then it must not exist. And so that's what he even says with this. Why would you even get rid of this idol out of the Senate house? It's just a mystery. Truth is a mystery. No one can seek it and no one can understand the road that leads to truth. It is saying, in a sense, that there are different roads to understanding who God is and what heaven is about. And even in today, it's the same philosophy and the ideology that we are familiar with. They say, well, Michael, you go to your church, I'll go to mine. You have your faith, and I'll have my faith. You believe this way, I believe this way. But you know what? We'll all get to heaven at the very same time. They say no religious system has a monopoly on truth. They'll say that's preposterous. And they'll say, what does it matter? It makes no difference. It's claimed that God is reached through any number of varied religions. That you can be okay in whatever path you take. But let's consider some things that are inherently wrong with this view from a biblical standpoint. And let's let the truth tell us what it says. First of all, with this ideology of different roads to heaven, what it does is it openly ignores and flatly denies the claims that the Lord made about Himself. And that He made about His God the Father. You know, I talked about this in our last Wednesday night, my last Wednesday night instruction online. And actually this Wednesday I'll be speaking a little bit more about this, about what the Lord said Himself about God the Father. But Jesus said in John chapter 14 verses 5 and 6, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me. So there's your foundation. Let's start right there. Who has the answers? Who has this way, this path that leads to heaven? Who is the truth, as Rex talked about in his lesson on Wednesday? Who is the life? Jesus Christ is that answer. He's the foundation for it all. So the question is, how do we seek that truth? How do we find that way? Easy answer is Jesus, through Jesus Christ. He has the answers. So clearly He has that authority. And we see that there's no way to get to heaven except through Jesus Christ and by His grace. Furthermore, Christ cannot be honored and followed apart from doing what He says in His Word. We're familiar with Matthew chapter 15 and verse 7 where He says, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to Me with their mouth and honor Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me, and in vain they worship Me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So even prior to Jesus ascending to the right hand of God, there were men coming up with their own commandments and their own doctrines by which they would be saved. And Jesus says false doctrine was there during this time among the Jews themselves. Jesus also says in John 14, 15 that if we love Him, it's very simple. We will keep His commandments. We will do what He says. In Romans 1, 16 it says that the gospel is God's power unto salvation. So that road that leads to heaven, to that eternal salvation, where are the answers? The answers are in Jesus Christ and in His gospel. The good news about Him and what He offers. And it is the faith which the apostles preach for us to know how to obtain this salvation. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by Me is not according to man. And skipping to verse 18, it says, then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God I do not lie. Afterward I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and also unknown by face to the churches of Judea which were in Christ, but they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God in me. This faith that Paul preached was one faith and one message. And he preached it from town to town wherever he went. And brethren knew about that. They knew the message that he spoke. And so therefore Paul brings the message back to Christ always. That Jesus Christ had promised His Holy Spirit. That He would be the comforter and the counselor for the apostles. That all the things that Jesus had preached to them and taught them, the Holy Spirit would bring remembrance to them so they would preach that message and that one message. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're familiar with the ones. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, where it says, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism." There is one faith. There is one way. And there's not many. There's not many. And shouldn't we be thankful that there's not many? Because wouldn't that not be confusing? Wouldn't that not be confusing? We do not serve a God of confusion, but of a God that does things in decent and in order and expects us to do the same. The faith is what the apostles preached and what we should follow today. That there is just one faith. Another thing that this doctrine does is it foolishly makes true something that is not absolute, but relative. In other words, this would allow the truth to be determined by man himself, and not by the divine revelation in God's Word. And so there's a problem in that, obviously. We make mistakes. God does not make mistakes. We rely on Him and His Word and His truth. However, this cannot be so if the doctrine were true, because we see in Scriptures that the Word of God is presented as the standard by which doctrine is to be measured. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, talking about the Bereans, it says that these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Isn't it interesting that the Bereans didn't leave it up to their human knowledge and their wisdom? They relied on the Scriptures. And they did so in reflection and looking back to what had Paul and Silas had been preaching to them. They used God's Word to measure what the truth was. They look back to the Scriptures, and rightfully so. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever. Amen." And then in 2 John verse 9, 2 John verse 9 says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." So the Holy Spirit here is impressing on us as the reader, where does it start? It starts with Jesus Christ and His revealed Word. There is true doctrine. And that's what we must do to please God. God's Word is truth, and we are sanctified by His truth in John 17 verse 17. This same truth was spoken to every church alike, as we mentioned before, with Paul and his missionary journeys, as he goes about and speaks God's Word from place to place. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 17. "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Paul had the confidence in Timothy to have him there and to preach the message, because he knew that Timothy was listening to the truth, was practicing it, and was going to spread that message. And in Paul's preaching of this gospel, he admonished them to stay unified by the truth which he spoke to them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, where he says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." I would say this is probably our keystone, our benchmark verse for this lesson this morning. Because Paul clearly states that there should not be divisions among us, and that we all speak the same thing. Well, Paul, how do we do that? Well, we have to have a standard. We have to have that benchmark. And that is God's Word. How else can we do it? And by doing that, as he says, we'll be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. That is the design of God's Word. God did not have this revealed to us to confuse you. He's not trying to trick you into something and make you believe a lie. That's the devil's job. That's not God's job. God's job is to reveal the truth to us. And He's done so marvelously. And He's done it through His revealed Word. So as we think about Paul and those missionary journeys, he traveled a lot. He went everywhere. He started churches. He helped bring about elders in churches. How hard do you think would it have been if Paul went from town to town, city to city, region to region, and didn't preach the same message? And said, "Well, okay, I'm in Galatia now. I know what you guys like. So this is the ideology I'm going to preach to you. Well, I'm going to go over here to Thyatira, and this is what I'm going to preach to them, because this is what they like, and this is what they think truth is. Paul did not do that. No matter where he was, he preached the truth, and it was the same message. He didn't have to have a council of men, a government, a religious body, for everyone to go to and say, what are we supposed to do? No, he preached the same message from town to town. So if you moved from one region to the next, you knew exactly what the brethren thought, because they all believed the truth, and they thought the truth, and they studied the truth. There was one message Paul brought in his missionary journeys. And since he didn't preach different things to particular groups, it's obvious to say that what he preached could not have been the same doctrine as the different roads to heaven doctrine. It could not have been that way. It would have made Paul a hypocrite in his preaching. And the last thing it does is that it gives mankind the authority to make his own decisions apart from God. And this is probably the most dangerous thing that we can do, because what this does is it robs Christ of the designation of Him as the one having all authority. Because when we take it upon ourselves and decide, well, I think this is how we should worship God, this is how I should serve God, you're taking that authority from Christ in essence. He's the one that has all authority. He's the head over His church. He has the right to say what we do. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, where it says this, Matthew 28 and verse 18, this is Jesus Himself saying this. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. God the Father gave Him that authority. No one else did. Shouldn't that be enough for us? Absolutely it should. And because the Bible affirms that the way of man is not in himself, we need this. We need Jesus Christ to have all authority. Because we cannot go on this road by ourselves and alone. The New Testament declares that teaching the doctrines of men will nullify or make vain one's relationship with God. That was back in Matthew 15, 7 through 9 that we've already read. We can fall victim to that. We can be in a saved relationship and fall away from that relationship that we have with God if we give in to these doctrines of men, and if we stray away from the truth. Simply put, man has not been given the authority to devise his own ways. We need God. We need His Son, and we need the revelation of the Holy Spirit. We have to have the Lord's guidance. So, there is one road to truth and salvation, and that's through the gospel of Christ. One way. And those who believe in this broad-minded, do-your-own-thing type of religion are in the majority in the religious world. And that is the sad thing about it, is it not? But that should impress us and motivate us even more to spread the gospel, to help others see the truth. But we do so in a humble manner. We don't do it in a manner that we know everything and listen to me. We do it in a way that we're trying to help our fellow man. We're here to serve. We're here to help. We don't do it in a prideful, arrogant way. We let God's message, we let His Word talk. We let it speak, because that's what it's there for. God talks to us about how He feels about doctrines like this that do not go along with what He says. Isaiah chapter 55, 8 and 9. His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts higher than our thoughts. And sadly, there will be those that still follow this doctrine and will always claim that there's nothing wrong with it. And the fact is it's a comforting false doctrine. Because what it does is it tricks you into believing that you really can't go wrong. You base things on your feelings. You tend to think, well, if someone else is doing it, then it's good enough for me. It's a very deceiving and deceitful type doctrine. And it tricks us and gives us that false sense of hope and comfort that everything is okay. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I think this is right. I feel this is right. It looks like it's right in the Bible. But it says its end is the way of death. Now, we as members of the Lord's body, we do not give in to this false doctrine. We understand that God's word is truth, and we follow it. And we don't question it, but we rejoice in it, knowing what it leads us to. It leads us on this path, this road to heaven. And what a wonderful road it is. So we, as the Lord's body, we continue in the truth that we read of in the Scriptures, and we always are ready to correct those in error. But again, we do so in a loving manner and in a humble manner. Because someone did that to you, did they not? At one point in your life, you did not practice the truth because you had not put on Christ yet. But yet someone helped you, someone showed you, the Bible corrected you. That's what we should do for those in the world. Do unto others as people have done unto us. And people have helped us along the way. And like you have helped me and my family along the way, we are here to help and we're here to serve each other. We're a part of a wonderful, blessed family of God. If you're subject to the invitation and realize that you have not been following the truth and following the proper doctrine in God's Word, now is the time to repent of those sins, to seek out God's reconciliation, and to be a part of God's family. And it can be done even this morning. And you can go along your way this morning and rejoicing, knowing the fact that you are on the straight and narrow path and you are on the road to heaven. If you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to come as we stand and sing for your encouragement.
Come to Jesus, He will save you. Love your sins, that's crimson glow.
To that of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the time that we are able to have this morning to gather together and be here with you and sing songs of praise to you and dive into another portion of your word and remember your son's sacrifice for us. We're thankful for this day that we have here, another day to be on this earth and enjoy your creation and hopefully grow closer to you. We pray that everything that has been done and said here this morning has been pleasing to you and that we have strengthened our relationship with you. Father, I pray for the members of this congregation that they will continue to be strong and to continue to encourage each other. We pray for my dad and Rex as the elders of this congregation that they will lead them closer to you and that you will give them wisdom and humility to continue to teach your word. Father, this morning we're particularly mindful of the Burnett family. We pray that you will be with them as they take another step in their lives as they move to Auburn. And we pray that they will be encouraged while they are there and that they will be encouraging to the members that meet there like they have been to us. And Father, we're so thankful for your son Jesus and the death that he died on that cross for our sins so that we can have this relationship with you, that we can go to you in prayer and to have peace and comfort when times are hard here. We pray that you will help us resist temptation as we go out into the world and to resist the devil and teach people in the world your word that you are the only way to have that home in heaven, that there is no other way to heaven other than coming in contact with your son's blood and to obey your commandments. We pray for the leaders of this country that they will allow us to continue to meet freely without persecution. But Father, if that persecution comes, be with us and help us to go to you for peace and for comfort and to resist the temptation to succumb to that persecution. We pray for those who are sick. We pray that you will be with them and their families and heal them and encourage them. And we pray that you will be with us as we leave this place and live the rest of our lives, hopefully growing closer to you and obeying your commandments. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.